stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Hello, and you're listening to Hacker Voice Radio on the 6th of February 2006. That's 060206 999-555-607, prostitute line. Oh, yeah. It is Hacker Voice Radio, and...
Have I come onto the wrong station or something?
Who are... Yes.
Prostitution. No. I didn't come here with prostitution, though. I wouldn't turn it down. Okay.
You're listening to Crypt, Planet Lave, and Blalalal.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. We were just discussing off air the 2600 meeting, which was held on Friday, the 3rd of February, just a few days ago. And we were just saying that usually there's a write-up of things that happened during that meeting, but we don't remember what was talked about at all.
And I don't think anyone else does.
No.
The conversation probably didn't get that intense after about 10 pints, did it?
No. It was mainly falling about and looking at my arse.
Yeah. So average Friday night then.
Yeah.
It is true. Your arse did play a big part of the night.
I did remember
your
that, yeah.
Your builder's bum crack.
I don't know why everybody was so fascinated about my arse.
Because every time we turned around, your pants are halfway down your butt.
Well, this because I
sounds like we went to some kind of weird gay club, but we didn't.
Well,
I assure you, listeners,
we did change venue.
Yeah, how is the new venue?
It's actually much better. It's much better than the Freemasons Arms. I've got to say, I think that's going to be our watering hole for the next few. The next few meetings, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll definitely be down there next time, but I kind of missed this one.
Can we remember the name of it?
Neither can I.
No, I can't.
It's just, I know roughly where it is now, but I'm sure I can find it next time.
I think between now and next month, someone will put it up on their
Yes.
We'll mirror it on the forums, make sure everyone knows what's going on. But you're right, it wasn't much cooler venue.
It was, yeah.
Power outlets, tables.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was nice.
Seating.
Yeah.
Everything
the kind
need.
Of thing you have to kill people for down Freemasons are.
Yeah.
You mean so you actually had seating at the 2600 meeting?
Yeah. I was playing around with the cigarette machine. That was quite fun.
Did you learn anything from that?
Yes, I did. It was quite interesting, actually, what it told me.
What was that?
Well, it gives a value of the number of cigarettes it's dispensed. And I'd say the number of change it has in there currently. And that's about it. And then it goes back to £0.00.
That's some cool stuff, mate. Have you tried Googling for anything on that? Because there must be some engineer-type bloke out there somewhere in the world who's... You know, written something.
Possibly, yes. I might have to have a sniff about for that. And to bring us straight to email news, we received another email on the 4th of February that was 2 days ago from Stack Smasher. He basically comments on our talk of ASCII Prawn that was featured on Thursday night's episode. And he'd like to say that there's a little ASCII Prawn for us. URL is www.ascii.prn.com, and there's also featuring a Deep Throat movie in ASCII, which is www.1.zkm.de /%70WVDC/ASCII/Java/. So go check those two things out there. And that's it from email news. If you wish to get in touch with us, please email us. Please send an email to radio@hackervoice.co.uk, and we can read it out live on air. And I just want to reply to a few comments. I've heard that people are unhappy with the general background music of radio shows, such as Hacker radio shows. They say that they play pussy electronic background music. That's the general kind of consensus on that. So in retaliation to that, I would like to play some hardcore death metal for a few minutes.
Make it full volume so nobody could hear what anyone's speaking.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do that for this entire episode.
The entire show.
Yes. And, you know, if anyone has any complaints about that, then I'm sure they can sniff out that post and reply to that geezer.
Yes. Okay. I think I'm going to hunt him down and find out where he lives.
Yes.
And give him some more death metal.
Uh-huh. Actually, his comment was, why not some kind of new age pop metal or something like that? So I guess that's even pussier than kind of generic background music.
What the hell is pop metal? What the hell is pop metal?
Like,
imagine the worst type of music in the world ever, then double it, and that's pop metal.
Yeah.
Is it all these pretty boys who play the guitar and go, "Oh, you don't know my pain, and I'm only 17, but I'm really complex." That kind of crap.
Yeah. So, here's some death metal.
That's enough. Yeah, that's it. All I can stand, sorry.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Yes. On another note, we've got the second Open Rights Group networking meeting tomorrow night,
right,
which is in London at the 01 bar on Hopkins Street.
Right.
6 o'clock till 9 o'clock tomorrow evening, so if anyone can get along to that, you need to sign up at the openrightsgroup.org wiki. Before you go there, I think there's about 20 or 30 places left.
Right.
But yes, the Open Rights Group are going to be talking about ID cards and the campaign against ID cards. And there's a lot moving on that now, which seems to be happening because the government are trying to dirty this LSE report, which is nothing particularly new. But now the author of the LSE report is actually threatening to sue the government,
right?
Which is quite good. But yes, that's all going on tomorrow.
So that's tomorrow, 6 o'clock, did you say? When did you say that was?
That's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
6:00
Cool. Okay. Well, go. Can everybody hear me? Okay.
Yeah. A little bit of break up at the same.
Cool. Okay. Just I just had to do some stuff to get my CPU to work. Okay. But anyway, yes, definitely go check that out.
You going along to that crypt?
Yes, I'll be there. I may be turning up a little bit late, but I should be there about 7-ish.
Good stuff. You're going to have to let us know what goes on there and what people's views are and, yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, it finishes at 9, so if I get out of there and don't end up going to the pub and get hugely wasted there, I'll phone into the show tomorrow evening and give a report back then.
Fantastic.
Live under the sea.
That would be cool.
Could even get some interviews with some interesting people, but we'll see how it goes, eh?
Yeah.
But yes, I'm really looking forward to that because it's going to have people like Phil Booth and Sue Sharman there who are sort of like, being organising the campaign against open right, campaign against ID cards and the formation of this new open rights group, which I don't know if people know about, but I think it's been publicised well enough that enough people know what the open rights group is, and if you don't, well, write in and let us know, or come along tomorrow night.
Did you say you had a rant to dish out? There, Crypt.
Sorry, breaking up.
So, did you say that you had a rant to dish out there?
Oh, yes. This would be the issue of Linus Torvalds and his rant against the GPL version 3. And I don't know if many people have seen this, but it was linked to on the forums, I think. And I've been keeping up with this story, and it's basically Linus Torvalds thinks that DRM is a good thing and can be provided in a good way, and that the new GPL3, which specifically forbids digital rights management, is going to restrict people's rights, as he says. But I don't know where he gets his ideas from. I think actually Linus Torvalds has finally lost his mind now. He's just it's difficult to say how much I think these comments are misinformed at best. But yeah, it's basically that, I mean, GPL allows, what Linus Torvalds is saying is that if Red Hat wanted to distribute kernel with digital rights on it, saying that the kernel couldn't be altered for security reasons, then they couldn't. However, you know, GPL specifically allows for this. What it does say is that if the user deliberately wants to modify their own kernel, then they should be given ways in which they can do that, and no rights should be taken away from the user to modify the kernel in any way. Now, this seems to allow for a situation where you might want to have a security-enabled kernel where you can say to you can distribute a version of Linux saying, I want this kernel to stay exactly as it is and not to be altered at all. But what it doesn't allow you to do is for a vendor to say, you must use our kernel and you can't modify the kernel at all once you have your version of Linux installed. Now that's wrong in itself, because the whole point of Linux is that users and free software is that users should be able to modify their own versions and change versions and distribute their own versions or whatever they want to do, and digital rights management is completely in opposition to this. But it seems that Linus Torvalds has completely misunderstood the whole point around digital rights management and the whole point around version 3 of the GPL.
Well, I'm not too familiar with those things, but I guess, is it true that in a way he's trying to get them not to to include that DRM stuff in the new kernel, or is it just is that what he's trying to play at?
No, I don't think there's any way in which DRM is ever going to be included in a Linux kernel, except where a vendor, say Red Hat, might come along and say, if you want the security enhanced version of Red Hat, we'll allow this system to prevent your kernel from being modified.
Uh-huh.
Now, that in itself isn't DRM, mm-hmm. but that's a kind of system that could be construed as DRM.
Sure.
What Torvaldis is trying to say is that they would be prevented under GPL from doing that. Well, no, they wouldn't. But provided they'd give the user some other means of getting at that kernel and modifying it for their own uses. Now, I don't see anything wrong with that, but, you know, Linus Torvalds seems to have gone off completely at the deep end, and I think he's actually a barrier to the adoption of free software at the moment. I think what he's doing is certainly... I think he should... Linus Torvalds has done a great job in promoting Linux and getting it to where it is now, but at the moment he's just completely lost his mind, I think. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, write in and let us know what your feelings are about this. And if you have any more to add to that, I think we can move on to some news stories.
Yes, good.
Cool. So let's see what we have in the news today. Provided by LucasAid from Reuters, advances in mobile phone tracking technology are turning British firms into cyber sleuths as they keep a virtual eye on their staff, vehicles and stock. In the past few years, companies that offer tracking services have seen an exploration in the increase of businesses keen to take advantage of technology developers in the name of operational efficiency. The gains say that covered are many gaining from ranging from whether workers have been held up in pub rather than a traffic jam, or being able to quickly locate staff, routing them if necessary. Not everybody is happy about this monitoring. However, civil rights group Liberty says that the growth of tracking raises data privacy concerns. Kevin Brown, operations director of tracking firm Follow Us, nice name, said there was nothing covert about tracking thanks to strict regulations. An employee has to consent to their mobile phone tracked. A company car can't request to track a phone without their user's knowledge. He said, under government rules, we send random alerts to each phone we track, informing the users that they're being monitored. I believe that these random alerts are actually the monitoring system to figure out where this phone is on the network.
Yes. And it seems a situation like that, they're always saying, oh yeah, they have to consent to their phone being monitored. But at the same time, you know, if they don't consent,
then they don't get the job.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not really an informed consent as such.
But I had a thought about this today, and kind of thinking logically, it's just a matter of basically the company you work for makes this their own internal law, and if you don't wish to abide by it, then simply don't work for this company. However, it's really going against the whole privacy issues, and it's tracking employees like tracking cattle, so I'm really against it in that sense. But then again, you could take the line of, well, if you're not happy with it, don't work for this company, but you'll soon find that you'll end up being completely unemployed, because every single company is going to take on this technology and you'll pretty much have no choice.
Well, my advice would be just to turn your phone off when you're in the pub.
Yes. That is a possibility, yeah.
I mean, the interesting situation is if you're already in a job like that, yeah, and they bring this in, don't agree to it, because they can't sack you for not simply agreeing to have your phone tracked. So, I mean, that's a solution for people already sort of like driving. If you don't have this technology at the moment, but possibly they're going to bring it in, then don't agree to that. No.
Another thing as well is, surely wouldn't this have to be work-provided equipment? If they're tracking cars, they'd have to be company cars. If they're tracking mobile phones, they'd have to be company-provided and paid-for mobile phones. No one has the right to track your car or your mobile phone. They can just bollocks off.
No,
it's no company in the world can say, we are going to track your personal mobile phone to find out where you are. They can provide you with one that can be tracked.
No, I think
you can sign up for it and say, yes, I consent to using this phone under the guidelines provided. One of the guidelines is it knows where the flipping hell I am all the time.
It's definitely talking about, from what I can see, about company provided vehicles and all that kind of stuff.
But it also is legal to track your own mobile phone if you consent to it, so that might be how they get around it. But certainly I would tell them to fuck off.
Sorry about that. Still suffering from a bit of a cough there. Yeah. One of the things in the story is the consent, and thank God that is still part of the equation.
Yeah.
You do have the choice to consent, and like you say, guys, it might come to a situation where really you've got no choice but to say, oh, okay, you know, go ahead, because everyone's doing it and it's a standard work kind of thing. Hopefully that'll never happen. I'm living in cloud cuckoo land, I admit.
Yes. Another thing staying on mobile phones is the Vodafone Greece story, and I don't know if anyone's seen this.
No, I haven't heard about this.
But apparently some high up guy in Vodafone Greece was tapping a load of Greek ministers and all the people that were there for the Olympics in 2004, all had their phones tapped by couple of guys within the Vodafone Greece company, and there's a story on the spiderorb.uk blog today, and it's got a list of the 44 surveillance targets. Now I was looking through this list and they're all Greek names, none I even recognise in the slightest, but it's quite interesting that the same technique could possibly be applied to UK phone networks, and certainly they're looking into certain instabilities within Vodafone's network at the moment, but it looks like this may have been perpetrated by the Vodafone Greece head of network design, Kostas Tiskalidis or something, who was committed suicide under suspicious circumstances apparently, so we'll never know for certain, but they're investigating this at the moment, so keep you updated.
Yeah, it sounds like abuse of power some way. Maybe there was somebody, you know, being paid off or something like that within the company. I don't know. And in Frenchy news, French cops dump Internet Explorer. French police are abandoning Microsoft's Internet Explorer, a great product, and will go for Firefox. Oh. General Christian Brackets, I don't know, IT director of the French police force, said that they... said that more than 7,000 desktops will be converted to Firefox and its email client Thunder Chicken because it's more reliable, secure, and work better than with other state services. He also said that IE will be off all machines by the end of the year, and said that the main reason for this change was because Firefox was based on the W3C standard, an international norm for World Wide Web, or the World Wide Wibble, and works equally well under Microsoft Macintosh or Linux. He would also like to want people to be able to report any theft to police via the internet, and this is possible if everyone conforms to the WC3 standard. Although we would have thought that sending an email to an emergency service is a little like a scene from the IT Crowd. To be practical, this is talking about episode 2 of the IT Crowd, where I forgot his name, the dude with the big hair sends an email to the fire service letting them know sincerely that a fire is occurring in his office. The move to Fire Ferret follows a move from Vol office to open office in the chain, and the change is likely to save French coppers more than €2 million a year. So there we go, Microsoft, you just lost another customers. Any kind of thoughts on that?
Yeah, what the bloody hell is this story all about?
Well, it's about, did I not read it correctly or what?
No, you read it exactly correctly, mate. But,
yeah.
The reason I ask is because on this story it's got the Firefox email client down as Thunder Chicken.
Yes, which isn't it, right.
Yeah, it later goes on to refer to Firefox as Fire Ferret.
Yeah.
What the...
I think they might have...
Is this a piss take?
I think they're smoking crack, mate. I don't know.
Somebody's on the crack.
Yes.
I don't even know.
Docs will contact police. GPs and nurses could be soon legally required to tell police about girls who have sex under the legal age. That
Flags.
Is 16. Sorry?
Flags.
Schlags. New guidelines will make it compulsory for health and social workers to report girls of 13 or under to seek legal advice about contraception. The move, seek advice, not legal advice, you idiot. The move follows a constitution exercise carried by the Department of Education through the results of an experiment, blah, blah, blah. The DOE spokesman said the current Department of Health guidelines stress the importance of the importance of confidentiality for under 16s. However, it makes clear that the health professionals must take time to explore whether each individual case may be involved in blah 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 abuse or bollocks and all that crap. And I like the little comment from LucasAid, Big Brother to cause a huge rise in the rates of teenage pregnancy. No pun intended. So I guess it's another little crack in the whole privacy thing. If you become pregnant under the age of 16 and you go to your doctor for help, the doctor seems to be now obliged to report this matter to the police department. However, they are defeating the whole doctor-patient confidentiality clause. Which is a bit poo. Yeah.
It's weird, because, you know, gotta say, double-edged sword. Girls under the age of 16, you know, should they be reported to the police for having sex? Maybe they're a bit naive, maybe it's for their own good. So
yeah.
There's that kind of benefit from it, but like you say... If this is the start of the crumbling of the whole doctor-patient confidentiality thing, where the hell does it end? And that is something I'm always wary about.
Yes.
Where does it end?
Yes. Well, it ends with us losing...
confidentiality between us and our doctors, yes. How exactly did that get there? I'm calling the police.
I was asked what the topics will be for today's show, and I'd like to talk about a little distribution I was playing around with today. It's called Backtrack, and it's a software distribution brought to us by remoteexploit.org. It touches upon Auditor, but it's actually using Wax as its base. It's much shinier and features a few new tools, as well as Metasploit and Millworm exploit databases. You will find it very cool. It looks much better and works much better than Auditor does. However, it's still in beta and does not support my wireless card, which is an Orinoco Gold. So it's a bit crap on that side, because I can't actually fully exploit it and fully use it. I still have to use Auditor. However, it does maybe have a few more tools that I can use in conjunction with Auditor, and also it's a nice little thing to play around with offline.
So have you seen any major advantages over Auditor so far?
Yeah, I'd have to say the menu system is much nicer laid out. It also features multimedia applications on there, as well as PDF reading software. It features maybe updated honeypot systems, scanners, crackers, Bluetooth, wireless, web, and all these kind of little exploit systems. Very cool. I definitely advise everybody to go and check it out, download it, burn it onto CD, and play around with it. I'm sure there's more stuff that you'll find than I'm able to repeat from memory. So yeah, it's a good little tool, you know. End of story.
Good stuff.
It's still in beta, so don't expect terribly much of it, you know, from starts, but I'd really love to see the development of this thing, because it has a lot of potential.
Did you give out the link for that?
It's remoteexploit.org.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, at the beginning. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And a nice little story that caught my attention. I don't know if you saw this as well. Postage is due for companies sending emails. Companies will soon have to buy the electronic equivalent of a postage stamp if they wish to be certain that their emails will be delivered to many of their customers. And guess who's doing this?
Well, I've seen the news article.
Yeah,
it comes as no surprise. Even if I hadn't seen it, I'd have guessed.
Yeah.
AOL and Yahoo.
That's right. Two of the world's largest providers of email accounts are about to start using a controversial system that gives professional treatment to messages from companies that pay for a quarter of a cent to a penny each to have them delivered. The senders must contact...
Oh, pardon me.
Oh, gosh. The sender must contact only people who they have agreed to receive their emails, or risk being blocked entirely. The internet companies say that this will help them identify legitimate mail and cut down on junk email, identifying theft scams in other circuit, blah blah blah, such as you're looking at a kind of blockage of everybody that isn't able to pay for this. Which is a bit like the whole cutting out the reverse DNS stuff. Yahoo and AOL say that the new system is a way to restore some order in email and also get a lot of profit from, because of the spam and worries about the online scams, has become an increasingly unreliable way for companies to reach their customers, even as online transactions have become a more critical part of their business. So basically, I think they're taking a very profit-driven way of combating spam. But it's just capitalism at its purest. They're not even investigating any really cool methods of getting rid of spam or combating the system of ways spam is generated. Whereby just saying, right, if you want to send emails now to our customers, you're going to have to pay for it. Which is a
yes, I take it this the story on the Register that they're going to charge for sending email. It's like,
yeah,
I can't believe that they're going to do that. It's there's so many other, like you say, so many other methods of defeating spam, but they've developed all these cool spam filters which filter out sort of like the junk messages you don't want to hear, and then they're saying to all their customers, yep, we've built in a little back door, and if you pay us some money, we'll let you through the back door.
Yeah,
we'll even give your nice email message a nice little flashy light above it to tell people that you've paid us lots of money for people to see this email message so they can delete it even quicker.
I want a little flashy email, but I'm not going to spend fucking 2 pence for it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I don't know if anyone uses Yahoo at the moment, but any messages from Yahoo come along and a nice little highlighted line, and you can tell them nice and easily, and then the first ones you just click on and delete.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess the other email is going to be exactly the same.
Has anyone, this is kind of specifically UK kind of news or discussion, has anyone heard about the music standards agency that are saying that due to the, what is it, trade standards, they're stating that all concerts, whether played live or not, should have some identifying factor, such as a flashing image before the concert starts, stating it is live or mimed. To basically,
wait a minute, we have a music standards body in this country?
Yeah, I think it's basically like music standards / trade standards body, which basically regulates trade standards if you are being sold something that states that it is that product, but then in fact it isn't, which basically they're saying that this should apply to music as well, for people that are purchasing or viewing a music, and saying that if a band or an artist is playing in effect looking like they're playing live but in fact miming everything and they're not playing live, that they are not actually working, and they're saying that they want to enforce a new method of flashing up an image before the concert starts of saying mimed or played live, and they think that this will bring new enthusiasm into the industry, whereby artists will now be compelled to improve their standards and play more live concerts instead of mimed.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, and I think they should take it one step further. And, like, whenever those stupid little girly bands are playing, they should put up a little message flashing up saying, shit, shit, shit.
Yeah. Do you, Planet, have anything to say about this? Because I know you're a big fan of music and all that.
Well, I think it's a good thing, obviously, because it will kill off, pretty much as Crip said, kill off all these crappy little bloody manufactured, girly, boy-y, shitty, talentless, bloody useless, crap band-type things.
Yeah, all those fucking, what are they called? Busted wankers. And, busted, what is it? I'm too old to know about
busted
this shit. So.
Boyzone. Mentioned about 100 million of them.
What is it?
They're coming out of the woodwork and they're created.
Those Anal Boys, Backstreet Boys, that's it. Yeah.
The ones I hate are where they put an advert in the paper and say, wanted 5 half-decent looking men / women to form a band. No talent necessary. though, obviously they're bloody miming. I mean, you just got to look at the MTV Awards and laugh at that crap when they're doing these big gigs and sickens me, to be honest. So I, absolutely.
No, it was actually quite ironic. I thought that the people that were singing live were the Gorillaz. Everyone else was miming, and the Gorillaz are this band that. An animated band that was supposed to be real human beings, and you had real human beings singing there.
Yeah.
Every other band, you didn't.
Yeah, I think it's a really good thing, because you'll see like 80% of singers' careers will just go down the drain instantly, because they have absolutely no singing talent. And, you know, if they're constantly playing mime, then people will be like, wait a second here. You're just playing something you remastered in a recording studio to get perfect pitch and balance on each of your songs, and then just rehearsing all that crap over.
The whole music industry needs a kick up the arse, and the internet is doing it.
Yeah.
Through free music distribution and basically other channels
of
discovering artists. This as well, I think, is a great thing. I fully support it. Let the people know what they've bought into.
Indeed.
Imagine that you paid whatever it is for a ticket. You go there and there's a big screen. Oh, please welcome, I don't know, the Spice Girls. And the screen starts flashing. Mime, mime, mime. Oh, you're going to tear your ticket up and demand your money back. You stay there.
So you should, really.
Box. Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody's seen those kind of top 10 bits where they play kind of live on stage, and there's no stage loop back, so they don't know when the song started, and everybody else can hear the song that started, and they're just sitting there twiddling their thumbs, you know, playing with their fucking assholes.
Yeah, that's all they ever do, really, though, isn't it?
Yeah, fucking overpraid wankers.
Yes. They'd all just have to go on Big Brother.
Yes. I wonder if I'd get into Big Brother. No, I think I'd go crazy. You're not allowed to bring any like computers or books or anything in there. So it's so stupid rule. Why aren't you allowed? Yeah, you're not allowed to bring books in. I mean, obviously. No, nothing at all, because, it'd be really boring to watch somebody read, you know? Like,
as
it isn't.
As opposed to watch them sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Or just watch somebody sit there for like 3 hours looking at a mirror, you know?
The problem with bringing books into Big Brother is that you'd have to have an IQ over 50 to understand them, and that's not the kind of people they want in Big Brother. Actually, I've got the checklist here for the new series. Do you have a brain? Yes, no. I'll interview you now live on air, see if you can get into the next series.
I would say yes.
Oh, sorry, you've been rejected.
Damn! Oh, fuck!
Please come back next
year.
Okay, no. Big Brother 72.
I'm so disappointed. My opportunity to win big monies has gone down the drain.
I honestly, God, don't know why people still watch Big Brother. It's just money-grabbing chavs, random scum off the street who think, I can go on telly and then I can sell my story to Heat and then I'll be famous like Jade Goody because she's my hero. Oh, you fucking scumbags. Crawl back into the pile of shit you came
from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a pile of shit. It's pretty much like going back to the music again with these boy band creation programs like Pop Stars, or what was the latest one, The X Factor. You know, they're just absolute shit. They produce the most shit music and they produce the most shit people. That it's just horrible to watch.
You know how long they actually last? Like a week or so after they become whatever, they finish the contest. It's just the whole, like, I don't even know what the whole concept is of it, because you've seen enough of them for like 2 years, and those programs last so fucking long, and it's like, yes, now you get to vote on who stays in, and now you'll get to vote on who doesn't stay in, and vote on who you think's most popular, vote on this prick, vote on that prick. It's like the whole thing of it is just like to keep them in the contest so as long as you can, so that you get as many votes as you can to make as much money from these people as you can. That's the whole thing of it. And then once whoever's won has won, that's it. Nobody's fucking interested anymore because they're fucking crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one Christmas number one they had and nobody's ever going to hear from them again.
Yeah.
You know, they just done it specifically to get Christmas number one because they can make more money out of it because it's Christmas and everyone buys singles at Christmas.
Well, not me.
No. I haven't bought singles for years. I think the last single I actually bought was Babylon Zoo Spaceman.
Right. Oh.
That was a great tune.
Yeah.
I hope you've burnt it in shame since then.
No, that's a great tune.
If it was terrible.
It was great. It was
off a Levi's advert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Space bee, wee 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 wee.
Whatever happened to that guy? Nothing.
Another one hit wonder.
I've got to say, the video was pretty good with that hot woman in her hot pants or whatever she was wearing.
Yeah.
Levi's. It was a Levi's advert.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm trying not to be commercial here, you know.
You corporate whore, admit it.
This episode has been brought to you by all the corporations above listed in and also Silid Bang.
Yeah. We'll be invoiced in you tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing with these X Factor gimps, they are really using them, though. These people who do get through all this week after week bollocks, and these poor morons keep texting in. Yeah. Oh, I like so and so. Vote for such a face, you know. And they keep getting charged whatever it is, probably 50p a text.
Yeah.
So they're draining those idiots dry of their text money. And also, when these poor fools who win the X Factor come out the other end and they have their one single that's released, by the time that's done, they're already building up to the next X Factor, and you've forgotten who the previous winner was. Because it's not like, oh, I was the X Factor winner of 2003. Oh yeah, I remember that. It's always the latest one. Oh, this guy, he won X Factor. This woman, she won X Factor. But it's always the latest one. You never hear from the guy who won it 2 or 3 years ago.
No, I mean, it's
probably a tramp now.
And
so that poor bastard had his hopes built up, and then one single.
And also, you know what really pisses me off, if we're going to go on a rant, I think I've got to say about, you know how when they always, I'm going to release my microphone from the stand here because I'm going freestyle, baby. You know how they always say about, you know, people that win millions of pounds in the lottery and how their life is shit after that, and it's always make you feel that, oh, maybe I just won't play it just in case I win, because if I win, my life is going to turn into a piece of shit. Well, actually, I'd like to dispel those anxious thoughts of you. If your bank account landed you £10 million, you'd be more than fucking happy for most of your life, actually, because you'll have enough money that you will never have to work again for the next, let's say, 40 years, whereby you'll be able to live a life of luxury and pretty much forget about most of the life's worries, which are now, in this capitalist state, I'd say a good majority of your life, whereby you are most concerned about the welfare of your life, your loved ones, and also the security of your job, which is one of the most biggest threats that can face any person in this world and in this country, because you're living in a society whereby you are used as a animal, a tool, and if you go blunt by any means in your job, you are then disposed of and put out on the street with no help or anything like that. Thank you very much.
So I'd agree with that totally.
There we go.
Anyway, I think we should probably move on.
Yes.
Move on from the corporate wars and TV.
Yeah, the corporate wars are all going to shaft you, aren't they?
Yes.
But yeah, No, I totally agree. If I had £1 million tomorrow, I wouldn't turn it down.
No.
I would. Yes, I was just reading on the Register that Google Earth now shifted to Greenwich Meridian, 100 metres to the east.
Okay.
On Google Maps.
By mistake.
Which is interesting. No, no, it's still on there. You can see that the Greenwich Meridian now doesn't pass through the Royal Observatory. It now passes through a field, which is probably one of the last fields anywhere near London.
Right.
And somehow they've managed to find it to put a line through, and they've called that the Prime Meridian. So,
did they do this by mistake?
It's difficult to know. I mean, I think that people will make up their own conspiracy theories about Google Earth, Google's domination.
Right.
But you have to assume it might be a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they're
what kind of
rename it the Google Meridian? Yeah. God help us.
Well, what do you mean by conspiracy story? Because I can't really see much effect on this happening to anything that may change your life, whereby you have to. I don't know.
Well, I have a little theory on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that they've started moving it 100 metres to the right, and they're going to start moving it again and again and again. So no one notices each time it moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly they'll move it all the way over to America, and suddenly Google headquarters will then be the centre of the Earth.
Right.
And then they'll start moving the Earth up and down. So the actual equator will start sort of like spinning downwards towards the US. And then the centre of the Earth, prime centre, will be the Google offices.
Right.
Maybe I'm just mad.
Yeah, that might be a possibility. I don't really see this actually affecting anything unless somebody actually lives in the virtual reality world of Google Earth. If you see what I mean.
Yeah, it's possibly not. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, because all they are is actually virtual reference points. And also you could actually doubt the whole theory of time, you know? Is today really today because somebody said a long, very long time ago that, you know, they calculated that today would be today because the sun was in an angle or whatever. So,
yes.
I guess.
There's another interesting story about that the other day, whereas they now are saying that time isn't a one-dimensional thing.
Right.
It now has more than one dimension. And I was just reading this scientific paper which absolutely just lost me after about 10 minutes, saying, you know, space-time isn't just space and time. Time has other dimensions as well. And, oh my God, some of the stuff that he's written in, like, he's got a PowerPoint slide on this website, which is stanford.edu/tildeALMayer. And he's put a presentation about it and a couple of PowerPoint slides, and by the time you get to the third PowerPoint slide, you think your brain's in another dimension.
Yeah.
Absolute proof of he's right. Some of the, it's interesting anyway.
Yeah, so it sounds like, it's good that they provide you with PowerPoint presentations, otherwise you can never fathom what the hell they're trying to talk about.
You can never fathom what the hell they're trying to talk about anyway.
Yeah. It looks like Planet Lave has gone up to 205 hours of Warcraft playing time.
Oh yeah!
But however, this week you've only played 2 hours of Warcraft. Ooh.
Yeah.
What's happening then? Yeah, you think your Warcraft standards are questionable.
They are.
Other commitments like feeding yourself and taking out the trash have got in the way.
It's finally built up.
Yeah.
I'm afraid so.
Where you found, you know, years worth of historic reference of food from Asda.
No, it's just that I have every pizza box Domino's has ever printed.
Wow.
And I realise that that's a bad thing and it's time to throw them out.
Yes.
No, it's just not been playing much, work and shit.
Right.
And that's only, I said this on the phone, but that's 205 hours since November.
Uh-huh.
Which, to me, sounds like too much.
Yes, it is a bit.
It's early February now, so that's whole of November, December, January.
Mm.
Yeah, that's too much World of Warcraft, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go into therapy.
Yes.
Or jump off a really high building and sue Blizzard. That seems to work for everyone else.
Yeah, but you'd have to think of a decent excuse as to why you were jumping off that building. I mean, did you want to destroy the dragon at the bottom of it?
Yeah, man. If you jump off stuff, it makes you level up. Nah, that's bollocks.
No.
It goes back
I never found that.
It goes back to an old story we reported on a bit here and there about this mental little Chinese kid who played World of Warcraft too much, and he went and jumped off a high building, and his parents are trying to sue Blizzard because they thought they were responsible for him being an absolute idiot, quite frankly.
You know, I think the whole kind of shifting the blame thing was playing on too much, you know. What I think is they tried to shift the blame first on Blizzard, then on the parents, and then on, you know, the community. But I honestly believe that the blame is rooted deeply in people building high buildings. You know, if that building was not so high, then the kid would not have died. And the blame is definitely with the architects of the building. Did they not conceive?
That's quite absolutely wrong. The whole blame lies with Isaac Newton for discovering gravity.
Yeah.
Gravity. Then they would have never have known that jumping off a high building would have been damaging to your health.
Ah, yes.
We should figure out who Isaac Newton's descendants are and take them to court.
Yes. Now, every high building will have to have a little warning sticker on every corner of the building saying, jumping off this building may be hazardous to your health, so that the building owners cannot be sued, or the Isaac Newton's descendants.
Yeah.
Warning, may contain gravity. Just tattoo that on the earth somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is weird that someone should jump off a tall building because they were addicted to Warcraft. I mean, how on earth can you gain advantage in the game by jumping off a building? I mean, there's not a way to do it.
Maybe his
Warcraft.
Maybe his mana was really high or something, and he didn't have to regen. I don't know.
It was just a mental little kid who had too much Sunny D.
Yeah.
You know, we've said it all before. His parents weren't giving a damn. And he was all like, aah! Sugar, sugar, sugar. Aah! World of Warcraft. Aah! I'm going to jump off this. Aah! Oh, crap, I'm 13 stories up. Flat.
Yeah.
Natural selection. That's all it is.
Yeah, natural selection in progress.
Yeah.
There's one less arsehole in the world,
thank God. No, I used to be addicted to World of Warcraft, but I got rid of my addiction.
How did you get rid of that addiction then?
I went about a month and a half with no internet access whatsoever.
Blimey.
And then when I came back to the internet, it just didn't seem to be as crappy as much, so I didn't bother going back on it.
Right. Was this by your choice of not having internet, or was you just not able to pay for the bill or something?
No, this is when I was moving house and we had a load of fuck ups with phone lines, so we didn't get phone line installed for over a month.
Ah, right.
Which really sucked.
Yeah.
But done me some good in terms of actually doing something other than playing Warcraft, which I was doing for about 3 months solid.
Yeah, I'm sure if people really put their effort to stuff, they could achieve a lot of things. But they seem to be wasting their time with trivial matters such as television and doing radio show broadcasts every night.
Yes, that's crap all about.
Yeah. Oh shit, wait, that's me.
Hang on. And how can you call being a level 48 night elf warrior trivial? A lot of work, my friend.
Is that where you are?
I'm actually level 47.
Oh,
I said level 48 to try and be a big man.
Yeah.
That's all.
You're a disappointment, man.
Yeah, I had a big, like, 3 months off. I really burnt out on it. Then I went back and I thought, oh, I'll try it. I'm a bit bored of it, you know. I've not played it for 3 months, so I'll, you know, just see what's going on. See if my old guild's there. And, you know, got back into it. Like, major. Back under the crack. Hooked again.
Yes.
So, I mean, to somebody that's completely alien to this World of Warcraft thing, what is the big, you know, what is the big suck-in for it? Yeah, why is everybody so addicted to it?
It probably is one of the best multiplayer online RPGs out there.
Right.
Which sets it apart from anything else. Right. Obviously, this is one man's opinion who... is hooked on it,
right?
You know, so it's going to be a bit one-sided. With any online RPG, it's always this kind of treadmill effect where you've got to level up, you've got to get to that next level. You know, if you can just play for another half hour, then you can get to level 7 or level whatever, and you'll be a little bit stronger. And it's like, yeah, now that I'm that bit stronger, I can go back and do that thing that kicked my ass earlier.
Right, so it's that whole kind of reward through constant gameplay thing.
Yeah, it's kind of the carrot and stick kind of thing. You know, you're constantly, you know, always going for the next level, and it's like, oh, if I could just get that, if I could get that next sword, or if I could only get that much more money... there's always something.
A lot of it comes through social pressure as well, because if you're in a clan, then obviously you want to go and do stuff with your own clan mates, or guild, as they are in World of Warcraft, and if everyone else around you is levelling up to the higher level and you're left behind, you're always thinking, well, I've got to keep up with everyone else, and I've got to go on this raid, and you've got to be around, help your teammates out, really. So there's also a lot of social pressure to keep going and keep going and keep going.
See, I was never I didn't really play those kind of games. I was mainly into my first-person shooter games, whereby you have, like, a clan, and you didn't really have much of a rating or a ranking apart from the rankings that you would be given in your own clan, let's say. And you would complete on a ladder whereby a service is provided... a leader, owner or something like that, a base community. And what happens is you would play other clans, and whoever wins gets a higher ranking in points earned and stuff like that. And that was the thrill of the game. And also, I don't know, you got the reward factor whereby if you won against a really high-ranking team, you got a really good point, and you got a lot of respect. But I found the most fun when was we weren't playing on the kind of ladder; we were playing just for fun against other people or whoever was on the server. I guess that was really a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to shoot the fuck out of, you know, people, really.
It's also a lot of fun on World of Warcraft, but it's a different kind of fun. Mm. I found that more a kind of like, oh, I need to keep going and doing this, rather than a lot of the time I just found I wasn't actually having a whole lot of fun doing it.
Right.
I just found I had to do it to get to the next level and the next level and the next level.
Sure.
So I certainly find FPS games a lot more fun there.
Yeah. You don't really have much need to kind of get to a next level unless you're competing in a ladder. But then you're focused on the strategy and the perfections of your teammates, whereby you'd rehearse different events that could happen in the map over and over and over again with your teammates, and you have a very strong social structure. And you know each other very well, and you'd have rigorous kind of recruitment systems whereby you get judged, and whoever wants to join your clan would have to be judged on their skill level and their accuracy, and you know, they're able to use stealth and tactics, and also to be able to play as a team player. The reason why I had to get out was primarily because of the amount of cheating. There's just renowned ones for their cheating on any kind of FPS game. I was in question playing Ghost Recon 2 and Ghost Recon. So it's a shame.
Now I always used to play Warcraft 3.
Right.
And that used to be a real-time strategy game. Yeah. And I used to be more into strategy games. And it's the same kind of thing. You'd go and practice building up in a certain way, and you'd kind of like go to bed at night thinking, well, what do I do if this and this? So it's a very different thing, because that's more fun, because you're always finding out new ways of beating people, new ideas, new strategies for going in. And some of it's very similar to the first-person shooter, though it's probably a slower game in some ways. It's not, because you have to react just as fast as you would in a first-person shooter as you would in a real-time strategy game, because you have to move your units in and out of a battle.
Yeah.
So it's a very similar thing, but I think when you're talking about the what's it called now? Morpgoos or whatever they're called, it's a very different thing where you just go over and over again. You never really experience the same situation twice.
Sure.
You know? In a sense, you're just doing the same thing over and over again, but it's weird. Very different things.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I should try World of Warcraft that one day. I don't know, I'll see. I'll have to experience different games, I guess, but I have to say, I just, first-person shooter, it always done it for me, as well as flying sims. I think flying simulator games were fantastic, especially you have like people actually there who will be air traffic control for the whole game. You know, it's a very boring job, but they'll do it because, I don't know, I guess they're crazy that way. And you sit in your plane and you fly around and you talk to other people. You have like chat sessions and stuff like that within the game, whereby, you know, you have to get to A and B, and you're flying around, and you're also flying around with other real pilots. Then you have your flying simulator attack games, whereby, you know, you're in a squadron now to kill all these fuckers somewhere else and stuff like that. That's the kind of generally the kind of games that I would usually play online and multiplayer. But I guess I have to venture out my, you know, my MMORPG virginity.
That's kind of probably similar to an MMORPG.
Yeah.
It's various different things. I mean, I guess you probably, I've never really played sort of like online flight sims, so I don't know too much about them. But I guess you had missions to do and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's probably very similar in some ways to
sure. Like the kind of gameplay and stuff was, I'd say it was similar, but you didn't have any benefit at the end of the game apart from you've won. That's it, you know.
Yeah.
Well done, you know, fuck off now, sort of thing. So you've completed that level, and then you'd either play the same level or you have like freestyle matches whereby anything fucking goes. I don't know. Those kind of games are fun for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then you're like, okay, well, that's about it. You know, I've flown everything. I've done pretty much everything, and now I'm just going to, you know, try something else, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, that's another benefit of online RPGs, uh-huh. is they are always evolving.
Right.
You are also always paying for them. So you're paying every single month, but every single month there's a bunch of guys coming up with new content, new things that are going on. You log on this month, there's this going on. You log on next month, there's something different going on. 3 months from now, they've created a whole new dungeon. And this is what separates Blizzard from those money whores at Sony Online Entertainment. Now, what Blizzard are doing is the new dungeons they come up with, they just throw them out into the game. There you go. We've come up with this. Take it. You're paying us every month. Just take the new content. There you go. Have it. It's yours. They are releasing their first add-on pretty soon.
Yes.
But with Burning the Crusade, Sony Online Entertainment, what they did with EverQuest, Star Wars Galaxies, and EverQuest 2 was, as soon as they came up with any new decent content, they'd hold it back. and then they'd release it as an add-on, a mission pack that you had to pay extra for.
Right.
So you bought the original game, you're paying every single month, you're then buying all these add-ons, you know, the cavern of this, the dungeon of fire, the cupboard of wanking, or whatever, you know. And you have to buy all these extra little mission packs to go in all the different areas where your guild wants to go and stuff like that. Now, that is real money-grabbing kind of shit.
Yeah.
And that's the Sony way of doing things. Again, this is one of the reasons I think World of Warcraft is so popular, is because they have put in a lot of very good content for free.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really for free. You are paying them for it.
Yeah.
But other companies would have held it back and charged you an extra £20 just to go and buy it.
But let's say, I mean, even Blizzard are doing this now with Burning Crusade, which is the add-on pack that they're just bringing out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've yet to see whether there's going to be any more add-on packs onto that. But, I mean, typically in a Google pack, in a Blizzard pack, what they'll do is they'll release the game and they'll release one extra add-on pack and then move on to the next game. Now, whether they're going to release more add-on packs with World of Warcraft, I don't know, but you know, it's been the way it was with StarCraft, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3, and a lot of other Blizzard games. So it'll be interesting to see where Blizzard go next. I'd like to see them do another real-time strategy games, because I loved Warcraft 3, so yeah.
Definitely, damn cool game. That and the Frozen Throne.
Well, yeah. Talking about, you were just talking about add-on packs and stuff like that for games. I'm just trying to think about the way that affects the games I play. There's a definite difference with that, because all the kind of first-person shooters I'd play, the add-on packs were mainly developed by the actual gamers of the game and different kind of coding teams. Not in any effect actually have any relationship with the developers of the original game. So what they would do is they would develop these immensely complex, very cool add-on systems, and then release them out, and they would then be downloaded and incorporated into the original game. But the game provides for this by also providing development software that developers can then use and create these add-on systems, weapons, characters, maps, and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. And very, very little was actually given from the developers of the game, apart from certain server and client patches. So, yeah.
Yeah, you still had that in Warcraft 3, because they gave away map designers and you could script various events. And there are a lot of extremely successful add-ons and varying maps and stuff.
Yeah.
But what they did do is they released the extra edition pack, which is Frozen Throne, and it's extremely popular. But obviously, if you're playing normal game, then that would all take place over the standard sort of game engine that Blizzard provided. Whereas there were a lot of other unofficial underground, but they never really took off as much. Although lots were quite regularly played, I think most people generally tend to stick to average gameplay.
So. Yeah. I mean, I remember fan-based custom maps coming out for the original Command & Conquer.
Uh-huh.
It goes back way back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, even before then. Way before then.
Mm.
But that was one of the first times I really got into kind of fan created content that was of a professional level.
Hmm. And I've got to say, I only really did experience the fan created content, and it really did kick ass. Yes, they were some not terribly well done, but yet very fun mods. And then there were the really extremely professionally done mods that were done to the games. All of which were resulted in some fantastic expandability and fantastic gameplay. And
you just have to look in like Counter-Strike, which came out as a rich mod. I don't know if sort of like Vivendi or anyone like that had any influence over it to start with, but I mean, that in itself has been the most popular online game being played ever since
1999. Yeah.
It is the king of kind of online shooters, really, still.
Yeah, I do play it quite a lot now, so.
So just to bring the show off to a close, we've gone a bit over time. Just want to let everybody know, if they want to get in touch with us, please send an email to radio@hackervoice.co.uk, and if you have any pertinent news stories, please contact us via our email address. Also visit our forums, which can be found at www.hackervoice.co.uk. I'm sorry about cutting this off. I'm sure that, well, myself and you guys included, we would be able to talk about this till the cows come home, and I'm sure Planet Lave could as well.
My God, yes. I do have to go in a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, get me started on gaming.
Yeah.
Any episode.
Well, I think we can then reserve, let's say, tomorrow's show to be all about gaming.
Fuck it, yeah. Let's do a gaming special.
Cool. Definitely.
Yeah, actually, that's something that we could do on Hackerforce Radio, is just instead of just having the nightly
random stuff,
about the stuff, we should assign specific episodes to talk about specific topics.
Why not?
I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very much up for that, and we can incorporate that, no problem.
Sweet. So
thank you for listening. As always, check back tomorrow for another episode at 9 p.m. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. My life's a collage of licks and scratches, making revolution in batches. My life's a collage of licks and scratches, making revolution in batches. You ain't done shit, but make me mo-ho. Tryna break me, make me ho-mo. Deep in the jungle, the people rumble. I hear revolution, the system crumbles. Oh, show, up and count me in. Cause I know that we can win. When you're ready, just say go. Please go, on the count of four. We house the homeless and we freed the hoes. Now the boat run with us. Keep that you can go with us. Just know, you better be in it for the long haul. Been at the long crawl. Get out, fuck it. We're just crabs in the bucket. My life's a collage of licks and scratches, making revolution in batches. My life's a collage of licks and scratches, making revolution in batches. My life's a collage of licks and scratches, making revolution in batches. Welcome to revolution, where the radicals hang. Feel the fang, I'm taking socialism on the streets, start a real game. We're talking about Marx and Che in the cafe. I'm gonna make these lords money pay. Time's so shallow, no excuse to be a youth so callow. Living in the belly of the beast, watching the window as the rich feast. Seems you're caught in the middle, right between sour and sweet. Don't play second fiddle, we fight for evil peace, not utopian peace. We answer the riddle, and we didn't need preacher or priest. Big change coming while you diddle. Economic future lies in the east. We can grow bigger, wider, better. My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches. My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches. Check my dumb with a thimble. My people eat like pigeons do crumbs. You daydream of pussy and what will fill you? I'm trying to clean a way to crush the system and kill you. Real gangsters don't kill each other. RBGs kill Big Brother. I ride for the masses, fuck these upper classes. Do the dirt in the suburbs. The rich thought they escaped us. Special delivery, you heard? Benzes and Jags, I swerve. My rage is for the man above the prison warden, whose boss is the boss of my guard. I'm crazed, I can't stand it. I sharpened my toothbrush and smeared it with shit. On the yard, all the uniforms get hit. You started a firestorm by making a stick. My life's a collage of nicks and scratches, making revolution in batches.
try to steal gold from the goose. The chickens are coming home to roost, trying to steal freedom. Come on, man, what you got to lose? Give me a boost through this window, past the sleeping dragon and his horde. So long I've been Poe, that's what I gotta say when they ask me what I did it for.